All right, welcome back, Financial Guys Podcast on the Financial Guys Media Network. Mike Spirazza in studio today. As you saw Tuesday during the podcast, we were able to play some interviews from our recent trip to Turning Point USA America Fest. We are going to play three more interviews today. The one and only Roger Stone, a Turning Point USA contributor, Morgan McMichael, and a border 911 advocate to talk a little bit about the southern border and the crisis that we are facing right now. We will start today with Roger Stone. Enjoy. USA!
Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now.
From the land of the free and the brave, USA, I love my country, they can't take that away.
All right, welcome back, Turning Point USA America Fest, sitting down with the one and only Roger Stone. Roger, thanks for joining the Financial Guys again. This is like the third or fourth time you've done this, I think.
It's great to be back with you. You know, when my wife and I were fighting for my life, in the illicit, illegal, and ridiculous Mueller probe, you guys were great supporters of mine, and I have never forgotten it because, well, Roger Stone did nothing wrong.
That's right.
They just wanted to squeeze me to make me testify falsely against Donald Trump, which, as you know, I refused to do. And I lived to tell about it, thanks to a full and unconditional presidential pardon.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I had Mike Lindell talking earlier with us about, you know, what he's gone through, what you've gone through. We had the QAnon shaman on earlier talk about what they've done to him. How do we fix this insanity of every time we don't like somebody, we just prosecute them to death?
We need to change at the very top of our federal government. Yeah. I think that's obvious. A fish, as we Italians say, a fish rots from the head.
Right, right.
You have, I think, starting with Barack Obama, a complete corruption of those institutions in American government, like the judiciary, that were supposed to be unbiased.
Yep.
We're supposed to be fair. Lady Justice is supposed to be blind, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
James Clapper or FBI Director James Comey or CIA Director John Brennan or Hillary Clinton, they can lie to Congress.
Right.
And they can lie to Congress about material matters,
right,
life and death matters, matters of importance. But if I forget whether or not I sent an email to Steve Bannon on August 9th, and the email contains a link to the front page of that day's Washington Post, we're charging you with perjury. It makes no sense at all. So we need a new president. Yeah. We need a new reform-oriented president. Richard Nixon, after he won the great landslide of 1972, intended a complete reorganization of the federal government with a particular emphasis of taking money power away from the unelected elites in the national security and intelligence agencies. It's one of the main reasons why he was taken down. Yeah. Now, when we look back on it, Watergate, that's pretty small potatoes, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, to think we have right now, we have four indictments on the former president, right?
Every single one of them bogus.
Everyone.
What did he steal?
Yep.
Nothing.
Yep.
What's the crime? He questioned the outcome of a federal election. Well, he's got a right to do that.
Yep.
Oh, he fostered slates of fake electors. You mean like Thomas Jefferson did in 1877 or John F. Kennedy in 1900? Yep. They're called alternative electors, and they're provided for within the law. When you have a pending lawsuit challenging the seating of a slate of electors, to protect your legal rights, you have to form a contingent alternative slate of electors. It's not illegal,
right?
But they've made legitimate political activity, legitimate constitutionally protected political activity, a crime.
Yep. Yeah. Now you look at the New York case. That's where we're from, obviously. I mean, you look at that. They're trying to get him on the fact that they think he overvalued his properties. The banks and the insurance companies do their own valuations on things. That's how it works, right? And what she's trying to do, Letitia James, of $250 million fine and closing his businesses down, these people are insane.
Well, you know what? I think what goes around comes around. Yep. Letitia James went from being worth $118,000 to being something like $15 million today.
Yep.
We have to dig into her finances.
Yep.
A new U.S. attorney appointed by Donald Trump will do that.
Yep.
This is not retribution. She's got dark money loans. Her public filings don't make any sense.
Yep.
I think she's enriched herself illegally. And I think that needs to be examined. But you know more about this than I do. You borrow money from a big bank, they use their own appraisers.
Yep.
They use their own lawyers. They made $40 million.
Right.
And Trump paid all the loans back.
Right.
Who are the victims?
Right.
And it's not like Trump, like, you know, I could see if Trump was buying a little shack down the street that was, you know, $200,000 purchase, maybe they don't look at things. He's buying buildings. He's buying massive real estate. Of course they're doing valuations. They have to. Everybody knows that. What are your thoughts about going into the election season here where Iowa caucuses are, what, 30-something days away now? What are your thoughts going in?
I think Trump is going to win. Yeah. I think he's going to have to fight very hard to fend off this tsunami of lawfare against him. But in all, so far at least, all these legal charges against him have backfired spectacularly. Unless you're a Trump hater, there is no crime.
Right.
You can't identify a crime. Oh, Trump knew he lost the election and tried to hang on. No, you have to prove his mental state.
Yep.
He never thought he lost the election.
Yep.
Now, whether we can have a free, fair, honest, transparent election, that remains to be seen. But in all honesty, in 2020, we were completely unprepared, legally and technically unprepared.
Yep.
That will not happen this time. So in all honesty, if in Michigan, for example, the Democrat officials running the boards of elections tell the Republican observers they have to leave, the Republican observers simply say no,
right,
and have their lawyer call a judge and get an order.
Right. It's simple. It really is. And let me ask you one final question. If they can't get him off the ballot, if they can't get him to lose the primary, what will they do next?
Well, I think neither one of us want to use the A word.
Right.
But
right.
Would they try to assassinate him? I wrote a book on the Kennedy assassination, which I make the case that Lyndon Baines Johnson was at the helm of a conspiracy that involved the Central Intelligence Agency, the mob, Big Texas Oil, and so on. So they've done it once before. I don't rule it out. I pray against it. They're not going to be successful in removing him from the ballot. So far, they've lost in court everywhere they've tried.
Yep.
He has no conviction for insurrection. So just because the Secretary of State, who's some far-out leftist in Colorado, just because that's her opinion, it has no basis in law or fact. Sooner or later, some state Supreme Court is going to uphold or overrule a court that is allowed to remain on the ballot. It'll end up in front of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yep.
And I think it needs to be quickly decided.
Yep, I agree with you.
They have no case.
I think I'll leave it with this. 2024 is the end of the road. We need it to be a win for us, a win for Donald Trump, a win for America, or we have some serious, serious problems, worse than we ever could think, I would say, right now.
I think Trump saying it is the final battle is exactly right.
Yep.
You know, you see Rachel Maddow say, if Trump is elected, it'll be the last election we ever have. No, the exact opposite. If Trump is not elected, it's the last election we will ever
What's crazy about that is he left. Trump lost the election, I'm putting that in quotes, and did leave the White House.
Right.
And then they're now telling us he'll never leave the White House again.
Yeah.
He already did once.
They tried that before. They said if he's elected, he'll refuse to leave.
Yeah.
He left.
Yeah.
He may have left under protest, but he still left.
Yep.
No, they're insane.
They're insane. Roger Stone, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Great to be back with you.
Thank you. All righty, live here from Turning Point USA America Fest with Morgan McMichael, Turning Point USA contributor. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me with you.
I know you're big with the Gen Z movement here. So tell me a little bit about that movement, because I can't wrap my head around. We're going to talk a little bit about an event you were at in Buffalo, where we're from. But that generation, I know there's a lot of bright, bright Gen Zers, but there's a lot of them, too, that want to depend on the government, don't understand how the world actually works. How do you do it? How do you deal with it?
I mean, I think Gen Z is the most slept on generation, because if you look, you know, conservative boys right now are trending upwards in high school, which I think is great. And I think that we are also the most underestimated generation. Yep. You know, look at Gen Alpha coming in. They're the ones that have the iPads glued to their faces. Yep. They don't go outside to touch grass. But when you look at Gen Z, you know, we were the guinea pigs of the technological movement. And I really think that we're just underestimated. Yep. And if you look a little bit deeper, you know, we're a lot more conservative than people think. We're a lot more, you know, financially savvy than what the mainstream likes to say about Gen Z. And so I'm in the weeds with them. I travel to high school and college campuses. I'm always interviewing high school and college students about things going on in America and really getting the Gen Z perspective, because I think it's really important for Gen Xers and, you know, the boomers, like everyone older, to understand how Gen Z thinks, because we're just being raised in a completely different environment than our parents were. And it's kind of hard to parent, you know, Gen Z when you don't know what the technology looks like, when you don't know what the schools are teaching fingertips. So I really think we're just an underestimated generation that needs to thrive.
Listen, I will agree with you because I feel I'm a millennial and we're the same way at times. There's a lot of millennials that I, you know, wish would think differently, but there's also a lot of good, hardworking millennials, right? So, you know, that brings me now to, you went to an event in UB. I went to the Michael Knowles event a few months before. You went to the Candace Owen event with Turning Point USA. What did you see there on campus? Of course, there's protesters. We know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty crazy. So I was at the University of Buffalo for our Live Free tour with Candace Owens. And, you know, I just saw a lot of craziness. I didn't realize how blue Buffalo really was until I was on campus interviewing students. I asked this one woman, you know, what would you change about the Constitution and why? A pretty, like, you know, not too deep question. I just want to talk about the Constitution. And she immediately was like, yep, and I'm not answering this question. Are you here with Charlie Kirk? Yeah, I don't want to answer that question. So immediately, whenever I'm talking about anything that is just a thought-provoking political conversation, they immediately just like want to slander us and be like, absolutely not, we're not going to have any public discourse with you, which I think is the also the problem with Gen Z. You know, we lack political thought of actually being able to have public educated conversations. And so Buffalo was crazy. There was a lot of protesters. I had a man telling me he was a woman, and the reason that he is a woman is because he feels comfortable when you call him a woman. And he was like, how would you like it if I called you a man? Well, I'm not a man. Yeah. So it's just pretty crazy to see the leftist rhetoric that has constantly infiltrated our college campuses and our high school campuses that we're the ones that are fighting back against. You know, if Turning Point USA wasn't there on those campuses, where would the conservative voices be allowed to have freedom of thought?
And that's what scares me. I mean, you saw yesterday in the intro with Charlie Kirk, he played that video of him arguing with someone, asked him, why, what did I do to be called a racist? And the guy had nothing. He couldn't answer it. That's not good when you're just throwing out terms like with isms at the end that, you know, everybody. I do want to ask you real quick about the Senate staffer issue. I saw you tweeted about this.
I did.
What the hell is going on in Congress right now? I mean, my God.
I wish I had an answer of like, what is going on in Congress? What's going on with our government? Do I trust the government? Absolutely not. You know, I think our founding fathers made the principles of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution to protect us now from our current government, which is absolutely crazy. I mean, the government is eating itself from the inside out and we're constantly seeing these things come out. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. Is it worse than the insurrection? Maybe, maybe. I think it's a bit disgraceful, a bit, maybe a lot disgraceful to our country. I mean, why is the current administration in the White House allowing this degeneracy? I mean, look at the Easter celebration. Look at the how they decorated for Christmas. I think it's just a slap in the face to American people. And what happened to class? What happened to
normalcy.
The beauty, normalcy of just American culture? And I miss that a lot. I wish I knew what was wrong with our government if it was that easy. This is why I like to talk about culture and, you know, help our young generation wake up to the craziness going on in the world.
I got
to
tell you, I hope I don't see any more of the photos and videos because it's nonstop
on
my feed.
Get it off my timeline.
I know. I tweeted that yesterday. I'm like, I'm so sick of seeing this. And there's just blurred out pictures and videos.
I know.
And I can't
no.
do it. Real quick before we finish up, what does Turning Point USA mean to you?
Turning Point USA means a couple of things to me. It means just empowerment, but real women's empowerment, real empowerment for Gen Zers, because what other organization has thousands of chapters in high school and colleges giving these students a voice and giving them a reason to speak out and do something in their community? And I think just seeing that impact is really important to me. And I mean, I dropped out of college and being able to see the impact that these students have made on my life and how I've been able to speak with them and, you know, really help shape their lives as well has been just so rewarding on many, many levels. I feel very, very lucky to be a part of Turning Point USA. We are the largest conservative youth organization in the country. There is no event like America Fest. There's no other event like Young Women's Leadership Summit. There's no other chapters like Turning Point USA chapters. And it truly is like we are the grassroots movement that is shaping and changing the way Gen Z thinks. And that just we just encourage free thinking. Yep. We want them to protect the country. We want to protect the rights that the liberals want to take away, which is I think is so ironic. But Turning Point honestly is just a family. We're a grassroots movement, and I couldn't be more proud of every single one of our thousands of students across country.
This is a very impressive event. Charlie's speech yesterday kind of highlighted that.
Yeah.
Seeing thousands of people in a room cheering and loving America, which is what we want. How do people find out about you and what you're doing?
Well, you guys can find me on any of the Turning Point USA channels. I primarily do the YouTube content, or if you know how to spell my name, you can find me on all social media networks. It's MORGONN, and we've got a lot of YouTube content, podcasts coming up, and we're on every single college campus near you.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
The rest of the weekend and have fun this week.
You too. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Alrighty, we are live at Turning Point USA's America Fest. Special guest here, Jason Jones from Border 911. Jason, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do first.
Yeah, sure. I'm a retired captain from the Texas Department of Public Safety's Intelligence and Counterterrorism Division. And I'm the guy that was so frustrated that what was happening at our border and in Mexico, I went public after retiring to get the Mexican cartels designated as foreign terrorist organizations. And somewhere along the way, ended up a national border correspondent with Newsmax. I still don't know how that happened. But today, I'm also a part of an incredible team of individuals with Border 911. Yep. Who are the best of the best at understanding what's been happening at our border, what's been happening in Mexico with these cartels, and most importantly, the impact to the American people, and trying to change policy to get new authorities to do what needs to be done to go after them and fix this problem. Because I can tell you right now, as somebody that knows this very well, if you think where we are right now with 111,000, just under 112,000 deaths from fentanyl from May of 22 to May of 23, get ready. Yep. It is just the beginning. I know these cartels very, very well, and they will not stop. They're going to have to be stopped.
So we've interviewed Sheriff Mark Daniels in Cochise County, Arizona, a few times, and every time we've talked to him, it's actually gotten worse, which to what you're saying is not surprising. But what are some real figures, and even if they're a little outdated? Because what I think what scares people is you see the videos at the border, but then the government tells you, no big deal. We got it under control. It's fine. It's secure. But it just can't be. It's wrong, right?
It's not just wrong, it's a straight out lie. When you hear from Secretary Mayorkas that your border is safe and your border is secure, I want to be very clear, as somebody that's on that border on average about every other week for Newsmax. And what I do that's different is I embed with law enforcement. And the reason I do that is because that's where you really understand, are able to peel back the layers of what's taking place on that border and how it's impacting the American people. And I will tell you, somebody that's been at this for 7 years now since I retired, you don't have to sell the border. It sells itself. But what is happening on that border that the American public really doesn't understand is that you're told that what's happening down there is an immigration issue. That's true. That's one layer of the problem. When you start peeling back that onion and you begin to look at how the Halcon network operates, which are the scouts, the Falcons, and the lookouts that have operational control of your border and how they operate in South Texas. I've seen them personally over 30 miles into the country. Here in Arizona, over 70. Communicating back to Central in Mexico and how organized they are. People would be stunned. And that's why we need new authorities to go after them. And that's what I've been trying to get accomplished.
So I think, too, I look at it this way, right? I mean, people think, drugs are bad people. Of course they are. But they're still smart people. The drug cartels, they know what they're doing. They're getting what they want here in America. They're funneling drugs across that border every single day. And you just mentioned it. You get yourself embedded with law enforcement. You get yourself embedded with the right people. Yeah. Why does our government not see the way forward, which should be they get themselves embedded? Mayorkas, come down here. Biden, come down here. Actually look what's going on here. Why are they – is it scared? Is it purposeful? What is it that they do that they just can't figure it out?
Well, I want to be very clear. The United States Homeland Security Enterprise of local, state, federal, DOD, and U.S. intelligence agencies, don't let anyone lie to you. They all know what's going on. They're read in at the highest classified levels, unclassified. They know exactly what's taking place, and they know the threats against this country. Problem is, they are the problem.
Right.
They created the exemptions that allowed these people to come into our country all over the world. They started out by allowing unaccompanied children to come into the country, then family units, and then from there, country after country after country. And it has resulted in the worst border crisis in American history, but far beyond that, because look at what's happening in the north now. You have families being destroyed by fentanyl, being destroyed by these drugs. And the linkages there, to me, in my opinion, as somebody that crosses this country all the time talking to families and interviewing them on this subject, I think it's going to be the fentanyl issue in this nation. It's going to get real change to happen, even over the mass migration issue that the media mostly shows you.
Yep.
Because families are being destroyed at unprecedented levels. And it's not just about a death. You have to remember, we don't understand second layer addiction issues in the long game. There is no hard data on that. So while, yes, you may survive this, what are the long-term impacts? Far beyond what historical drugs like methamphetamine, cocaine, and others are on the human body.
So, I know we talked a little off camera. So me personally, we live in Buffalo, New York. I lost two brothers to drug-related suicides.
Man, I'm sorry.
And the crazy thing, this is drug-related suicides, right? It's not fentanyl overdose. But that every state's a border state, and every single family knows somebody that's been impacted by drugs, right? Yeah. And that, to your point about secondhand stuff too, if you add suicide numbers in there from drug use, if you add other drugs in there that people are using and you know, having serious mental issues or even sadly passing away, it's, it boggles my mind that our government doesn't care. And I'm going to say it that way. They don't care. Some may.
Federal government.
Yeah. Right. Like some don't. They just, I mean, our president right now has done everything he can to not address this problem. And that to me is sickening. And his vice president for that matter.
Now, let me add a bunch of layers to this that your audience is not being told.
Yep.
Let's just take fentanyl. You hear this term weaponization of fentanyl, right? But no one ever tells you what that means. Yep. Well, the Mexican cartel, specifically the Sinaloans, hired chemists straight out of university, some which are still professors who are working with the Sinaloa cartel, who began changing the analogs. And so what that means basically is how you produce it, the chemicals that you use, also the strengths of it. A lot of the dope that we're seizing throughout this country right now is not regular fentanyl. They've gone from regular fentanyl to parafentanyl to serafentanyl. Now, if you're not familiar with what serafentanyl is, this is what you put in darts to put down giraffes and rhinoceroses in Africa. This is what our people are taking. Now, overlay that with xylazine that the Chinese have just mixed in, and the other zine categories of these tranquilizers known as Tranq on the street that they're now implementing into fentanyl. The impacts of this on the human body are not known. So get ready. I will tell you, and I will say it again, there is a reason why I've said we've got to go after the cartels and look at them in the totality of what they are today. Because I know them very well. They are not gangs. They've gone from organized crime into an insurgency, into terrorism, into where we truly see them today as a parallel government. So we need the new tools of national power to be able to go after them.
If you could fix it tomorrow, and I know that's not an easy task, what do we need to do day one, let's say 2024, whoever wins the presidency, what do we need to do day one to immediately at least help fix some of the problem, if not all of the problem?
Well, I look at it in multiple stages, right? Yep. When you say the problem, the border is one part of it, right? In order to secure it. That's the easy one. The immigration layer, your audience needs to understand, that's the simplest of it all.
Yep.
The national security failures now that we have domestically are unprecedented. We've never had a time where we have had people in a 12-month period have come from countries in 171 different countries in 12 months. We've never been there.
Yep.
So we have a lot of domestic issues that we never had historically. But enforcing the law for that, that's all easy. Yep. Immigration is simple. Here's what we've got to do, though. When you look at if anyone, whether it's a Middle East terrorist organization, gangs, cartels, global, whatever, if you want to come to the United States, you have to pay the piece or the tax to these cartels. Yep. They are the hub to the rest of the problem set.
Yep.
You want to stop human smuggling, you want to stop human trafficking, you want to stop the fentanyl issue and extortions, and the list goes on. You've got to go after them. So I would tell you, bar none, the relationship with Mexico and the new authorities that we need by designating them as foreign terrorist organizations will allow us to go after them globally. Look, Sinaloa cartel that's pushing most of those in 54 countries around the world. So don't let anyone, though, on that other side of this, tell you that this isn't fixable. The problem, though, that we have right now is to what degree of damage is going to continue to happen to families all over this nation before we go after them. But I will tell you this. Those of us who have been doing this a long time, those of us who have built programs to go after them, know exactly what need to be done. And it will start with a unified command globally, designating them as foreign terrorist organizations, and then God help them. Because wherever they are in the world, the world's best of the best are coming for them for what they have done, not only to so many families in the United States, but to so many in Mexico as well.
Yeah. It's a sad reality right now, and I think we just need some serious change. And one last thing I'll ask you too, so people can find you. How do people find Jason Jones at Border 911?
You bet. You can find me at Border 911. You can find me at Newsmax every day showing what the cartels are doing. I actually go down there and break those, or at jasonjones.com.
Perfect. Jason, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Great to meet you. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. Bet.
Thanks again for listening, and thank you again to Turning Point USA for having us, the Financial Guys Media Network, in attendance for America Fest this past weekend. I hope you enjoyed all the interviews, and we will see you next week. USA,
home of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now.
From the land of the free and the brave, USA, I love my country, they can't take that away.